Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
When we come into union with Christ, what happens to Christ is credited to have happened to us. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also were raised into a newness of life. So he says, now we should walk in the newness of life.
I will no longer die to what he died to. Because he died, I'm no longer in my sins. Because he died, I can never be sick. Because he died, I can never be poor. Because he died, I can never be under a curse. Because he died, I can never be a prey to the fowler. My soul has escaped through his blood.
Step into the world of infinite possibilities as you listen to Pastor David Ibichukwu today.
You are the one we worship. To you our hearts are raised. To you our songs we raise. To you our hands are lifted. To you our hands are lifted, Lord. To you our hands are lifted. To you our hands are lifted. In worship, in praise, in adoration, giving thanks to your holy name. Thank you for your presence in this place today. Thank you for what you're doing in our midst in this moment. Thank you for the move of your spirit in our midst in this moment. We will never remain the same again. We will never remain the same again. Lift your hands. We've been ushered into the new dimensions of the anointed for dominion. Ah, thank you, Father. Oh, glory. Glory. Remember this day. Remember this day. When they ask you, when did you notice? Remember this day. When they ask you, when did this new thing begin? Remember this season. Remember IFPC, when the Lord told us we have been ushered into new dimensions and new harvests. Remember, it will never be the same again. It will never be as it used to be. In the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, lift those two hands to the author and the finisher of our faith. To the Alpha and the Omega, the A and the Z, the beginning and the end. Yet, he has no beginning and he has no end. We worship you. We bless your holy name. And we receive into your life your word. And we receive into our lives your word. And we receive into our lives what you're saying and what you're doing in this moment. Thank you, Father. Hey, hear the word of the Lord. Lost sons, for my agenda for the kingdom in 2025, I put you first. Oh, the Lord has placed us first. For his plans and for his kingdom's budget, financial budget for 2025, the Lord puts us first in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. Thank you for the revelations you're giving us concerning the family and your blessing on our families. We worship you, Father. In Jesus' precious and mighty name we have prayed. Lift your hands and give him a mighty praise. Please, make it great. Make it great. Oh, we praise you. Oh, we praise you, Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Love some shout hallelujah. Love some shout hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Welcome everyone by your side, to the left, to the right. Make sure no one will remain a stranger by your side. Let them know how excited you are that they are in this first service. And in this first service, we are on a subject dealing with family foundations and generational patterns. Dealing with family foundations and generational patterns. And we've established that God builds generationally, and therefore the devil attacks what? Generations. And when the devil wants to attack, what he attacks is what? The foundation, which is the family. The foundation of human existence on earth is the family. The source of generations is the family. Very important. And we noticed what happened in Genesis when the Lord told Adam in Genesis chapter 2, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil. And he said, the day you eat it, you shall what? Die. You shall die. And then he did it. Remember, the first man and the first woman, that's the first family. First man and first woman, that's the first what? Family. What happened? Let's look at Genesis chapter 3 from verse 14 to 19. So the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. Keep going. I'm going to verse 17. Yes. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head. Now he's foretelling of what's going to happen on the cross. And you shall bruise his heel. If you notice that he's there, is in capital letter. He's speaking of Jesus dying on the cross. So you would think you are going to be crucifying him, but that's what he's going to use to defeat and overcome you. And he will take off your head, take off your authority. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So he's telling the devil, you think you're rejoicing now? You think you've taken the dominion from Adam? You think you make a mess of my creation? I'm raising a seed that will bruise your head. You will bruise his heel, but he will destroy you. He will decapitate you. Somebody say, I hear. So the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. You see, the curse is a pronouncement that releases a force that restrains and disempower people from prospering. That alienates people from the blessing of the Lord and what God has to offer. So the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. You see what it is? What is supposed to be a blessing will bring you pain. And your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. So that's where all this dominion over women, and some women not knowing anything else in life except their man. The only thing they are desiring is man. Everything man. Once you remove a man in their life, it's as if the whole world crumbles. It's a curse. It's a curse. Oh, a lot of people don't know it's a curse. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. You see, it was not supposed to be toy. It was supposed to be decent labor. A decent labor. Now people are giving to toys, to incessant struggles, trying to heal. And then he said, In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Look at verse 18. Now look at the next thing it says in verse 18. It says, both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. So he said you will eat, you will make results, you will produce bread, you will have money, but it will come with sorrow. It will come with sorrow. It will come with sorrow. Both thorns and thistles, both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. Verse 19. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread. You see, when people say, you don't know my heart ends, my hustling, they don't know that they are professing that they are under a curse. They don't know that. Some take pride in what they have to suffer before they could get anything in their life. To achieve, they suffer and they tell it as their story. No, no, they are communicating the reality of the curse. It was supposed to be with divine ease. It was supposed to be with grace. Even the toughest and the greatest task was supposed to happen with ease. Greatest achievement was supposed to be with ease. I'm not talking about just irresponsibly not doing anything. I'm talking about ease, divine ease. The David faced Goliath. Was Goliath a mountain of challenge? I'm asking. But did David take the responsibility to face him? Did he advance towards him? Did he run scared? But what did it take to bring Goliath down? God's plan is that when we face the most challenging tasks, he will help us to have the easiest victories. Grace is supposed to be available. So people today boast of things they should be ashamed of. Because it caresses, it massages their ego and their pride. In the sweat of faith, you shall eat bread. He said, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken. For dust you are, and dust you shall return. Jesus. This thing here, became the state of a man, the state of men, but it was the sin of a first family. That's all. One family. Look at Psalm 127, verse 3. Put it on the screen for me. That's not what I'm looking for. Give me verse 2, sorry. Not verse 3. Everybody read and read out very loud. I want you to read out very loud. One to go. It is in vain. I'm not hearing you louder. It is in vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the word. So there is something the Lord calls what? Bread of sorrows. The person is making money, but bread of sorrows. The person is garnering accolades. People are praising him, but bread of what? The person is gaining fame, but what? Bread of sorrows. Bread of sorrows. The person had the biggest wedding, but what? I hope you know that people's wedding days, some people, a lot of people, not even some people, their wedding day is the day they throw party for a sentence to live in hell on earth. That after a few days, even some would have seen the sign before the wedding day. Even during the wedding, they were fighting. That they are now going to be shedding tears and regretting their lives. And that's what they spent money and called people to come and enjoy. Some people give birth to children. The day everybody is dancing, dedicating the children, is the children that will kill them. The children that will make them develop high blood pressure. That's the children they are dancing. That's the truth. They spent money to train them in school so that they will become educated devils. Bread of sorrows. He said, for so he gives his beloved sleep. That word sleep there literally means rest. There is a blessing that makes one rich. Rich in faith. Rich in knowledge and wisdom. Rich in favor. Rich in wealth. Rich in health. And has no sorrow with it. It's called the blessing of the Lord. So God designed that man should walk. He told Adam, dress and keep the garden. Walk it. God planned work for man. But God didn't plan that it's going to be through toils, the sweat of faith, struggling. That's why I don't like the word hustling. I don't hustle. I'm never in a hurry about anything. I'm never anxious for anything. I'm never. I move with the speed and the pace of grace. Once I sense God's grace is not operating there, I remove my hands. There is nothing in life I must have except God. There is no height. Somebody sang a song, and that song, very unknown person that sang that song. One day he came and gave me that song. That song never left my spirit. If you have something that is greater than God, keep it, don't give me. I don't want any blessing from anybody. I don't want any promotion and any honor that doesn't come from God. I don't want. Keep it. That's the fastest route to sentence yourself to a life of feeding on the bread of sorrows. Nobody under the sound of my voice will be sentenced to a life of sorrows here in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The blessing of the Lord is evident in your life. You enjoy peace. You enjoy rest. You enjoy divine significant achievements. You enjoy exploits and accomplishments with the grace, with help of God, with divine ease. If you're the one that has that blessing, shout your loudest amen. Shout your loudest amen. One course. And it started affecting the whole of humanity. Through one man, sickness, poverty, sin, everything that comes with it, all their cousins and nephews and nieces, every evil, the organ of them all, death entered and affected everybody else. Everybody else. Through one man. One family, Adam and Eve, one. That's why when the devil wants to strike, He's looking for foundation. He's looking for seeds. He's looking for roots. That's what he's looking for. Let's look at another example. According to the law, what God said concerning the sins of the fathers. Somebody say, I hear. Exodus chapter 34, verse 5 to 7. Exodus chapter 34, verse 5 to 7. Fast, please. Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Verse 6. And the Lord passed before him, that's before Moses proclaimed, and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, watch this, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. Join me in verse 7, and everybody read that very loud. Want to go? Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. So when the devil is attacking a man and a woman, what he's attacking is not just them. He's looking for their third and fourth generation. The nations that will come through. That's what he's looking for. That's what he's looking for. He said, God gives mercies for a thousand generations. For a thousand generations, he's merciful. He's full of mercy. He's full of compassion. He forgives iniquities and transgressions and sins. But he said, but the wicked and the guilty, he does not clear. He visits the sins and the iniquities of the father upon their children. Now, this was under a covenant. Tell your neighbor, it was under a covenant. Shout it, say, it was under a covenant. Are you aware? All right. Always note that. Under the old covenant. Let's look at another one. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 9. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 9. Read with me and read out loud. Please, everybody, see the dangers of idolatry. For those of us who were in the third service, you see, when we looked at families with 40 direct foundations, the first is any family that has practiced or given themselves to what? Idolatry. Both in the past or what? Presently. Look at it. Everybody, read and read out loud. Want to go? You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. But you know, you don't stop there. You look at the next verse. But showing mercy to what? To those who love me and keep my commandments. Give God praise, somebody. You better give him praise. Look at Isaiah chapter 14, verse 21. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 21. He said, prepare slaughter for his children. If I give it to me, NIV, so that we'll see it better. Prepare a place to slaughter his sons for the sins of their forefathers. Jesus. Prepare. That's the voice that is in the spirit, haunting different people who have not come under a different covenant. And as far as they have not come under that different covenant, this voice is against them. A written and a spoken ordinance against them. Prepare a place to slaughter his sons for the sins of their forefathers. They are not to rise. They are not, that's a curse. a disempowerment. They are not to rise. They won't raise their heads to inherit the land and cover the earth with their cities. They won't rise in honor. They won't rise in their professions. They won't rise in prosperity. They won't rise in anything. They are not to rise. He said, prepare a place to slaughter them. But like I ended the last service, I've shown you that now there is a new covenant. Tell your neighbor, Jesus Christ happened. Oh, I don't know if you're excited. Tell the person by your side, say, Jesus Christ happened. Say, there is a new covenant now. So let's go to Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 29 to 34. Those of us who are Christ, and we are in Christ, we must now have knowledge not to allow the devil to toy with our lives. Do you know how many Christians that are running around being harassed, tormented, afflicted by the enemy, defeated by the devil? And it ought not to be so. Their lives being destroyed. They love the Lord. Many are faithful, serving the Lord. But yet, when you look at their lives, you see what looks like the same generational causes that have been plaguing those who don't know God, coming from the roots of their families. And you still see it there. The late marriage is still showing up there. No one rising is still showing up there. Struggling. Futile labor. They walk, come back with nothing. Some is rising and falling. It happened to their grandparents. In their youthful age, they were doing well. Things were working. After a while, down. Now, it happened to their parents. These people living in their parents' houses, things were better. Growing up, after a while, the same thing, rising and falling. People are allowed to rise, but they must fall. They must come down. After a particular time, they start coming down. The same barrenness. The same track record. Cycle of divorce from generation to generation is happening now. No one really stays in their parents' houses. And those who stay, just stay for pride's sake, for their children's sake. No peace. Inexplicable conflicts. People walking through their families is as if they are walking on eggshells. As if they are walking on coals of fire. Everywhere is sensitive. Fight is repeating itself again. Look at it. Some daughters hate their father. They slap their father and ends up marrying their father. The husband just starts behaving like their father. Some men, the same thing. Their mothers were very quarrelsome. Now they've married wives that are very quarrelsome. Repeating patterns. And these people are Christians. Why? It ought not to be so. You're here, you're 30, you're not married. Above 30, you're not married. I'm not talking to the ladies, I'm talking to the guys now. And you allow the enemy to give you justifiable reasons. You're explaining why you're not married. Explaining why you're not married. You don't even know what's going on. when there is delay in your life, is not normal. Let me explain what is happening. What's happening is the devil is stealing your time. It's time that is being stolen. Children you should raise. God planned it that at the age of 60, you should have seen your third to fourth generation. Now, at the age of 60, you're preparing to give birth. When you're now attending your children's graduation, you're bent a little. Now, your children don't want you to come to school. Because they keep asking them, is that your grandfather? Keep laughing. You think it's a laughing matter? You think it's a laughing matter? Oh, you think it's normal? You think it's normal? It's a manifestation of a curse. Delay is a curse. It's not a laughing matter. And I know that people that will hear this and give me, everybody doesn't want to marry. Everybody doesn't. Must everybody marry? What if you don't want to marry? I don't have a problem. If the Lord gave you a gift to be an eunuch, please, where is the service for which you sacrificed your marriage? Like Apostle Paul. If it is not sacrificed to serve God, it's selfishness. God created you to create others. Give God praise. God created you to nurture. He gave every man a command to go and be fruitful and multiply. A man once said, he said that one of the greatest tricks of the devil and the greatest lie he has ever sold to mankind is to convince men he does not exist. The worst enemy you can ever face is the enemies you are not aware exist. You can't deal with problems when you don't even know there are problems to be dealt with. Wave your hands if you're getting what I'm saying. That's very, very important. Very important. It ought not to be so. So let's go to Jeremiah chapter 31. I want you to hold your neighbor, call him by his or her name, and say, Mr. David, say, hear the word of the Lord. Read it to your neighbor, one to go. In those days, they shall say no. The fathers have eaten what? They shall say no more. In those days, somebody say, in those days, we have to find what day is that. They shall say no more. What should they say no more? Want to go? Shout it louder. And they shall say no more. The fathers have eaten sour grapes. And the children still. That means what the fathers are doing, the children are about to multiply. What happens to the fathers affects the children. He said they will say it no more in that day. Somebody shout your loudest amen. Amen. Keep reading to your neighbor. Hold those hands. Verse 30. And read out loud. One to go. But every man. Everyone shall what? Every man who eats the sour grapes, his teeth shall be set on the edge. It will no longer affect their children. Which day is it that when the fathers sin, their iniquities will no longer be required? Which day is that? That the sins of the fathers will no longer come after their children. Let's see it, verse 31. We're about to see. Everybody, keep reading to that neighbor and read it to that neighbor. Don't lose those hands. Those hands are blessed. Want to go? when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Verse 32, keep moving fast. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. So, how many of you notice that that thing we read in Exodus chapter 34 and what we read in Deuteronomy chapter 5 was the old covenant? Did you notice it now? That's the old covenant. Now, he said, this covenant is not going to be according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hands to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Continue. My covenant, which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. Verse 33, loud. Again, I'm not hearing you, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. How many of you know the new covenant? Did Jesus bless the cup and tell us this is the blood of the new covenant? Did he say it? Are we beneficiaries of that covenant? So under this covenant, it will be said no more. The fathers have eaten sour grape, and the teeth of their children are set at the edge. It will be said no more. It won't be said anymore. A Christian who is claiming that the sins of his fathers are chasing after him is under the old covenant, operating under the old covenant, accepting what's happening in the old covenant and rejecting the new. There are Christians that are still walking around trying to break curses that are not on them. Let me tell you the spiritual technology of this. Hello? 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 The demon of delay is sent. That's not our territory. But go and check if that house is empty. That guy loves the Lord. He goes, no, there is light. Oh, no, the Holy Spirit is there. Are you sure? Okay, leave that one. We can't operate like cockroaches. We can't operate in the light. They will find us out. For the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never overcome it. Never. Go and check this other one. Hey! The Holy Spirit is there. Yes, the Holy Spirit. I could see it, but he's dormant in him. This guy, Ephraim, does not read the Bible. Does not know knowledge of the things of God. Ignorance. There is a darkness all around him. He's very confused. A cloud of darkness. He said, are you sure? He said, oh yeah. Bang. He will go. Boom. Boom. And because he's not in light, watch this. He's not in light. You know what? I'm going to tell you a story. Because he's not in light. You know, say, hey, the same thing that happened to my uncle. The same thing happened to my mother. The same thing happened to my father. He's not showing up in my life. I need deliverance. The moment he says that, the demon that is trying that to come and check will just call. Seven more wicked demons. Meet day. An ignorant believer is meat for the devil. Nothing was wrong. The devil had no power over him. Until when he was tested, they just wanted to test if he knows. A little delay he experienced, he now said his cost. The moment he said it, his tongue signed it into law. And from that day, the demons of delay now came to camp with him. And when they finish, they will whisper to him. Because the angel of darkness always masks as if it's an angel of light. While he's praying, they'll tell him, my son.
He doesn't know, my people. He doesn't know the voice of God. He doesn't know when the devil is speaking. He doesn't know when his mind is speaking. He doesn't know when God is speaking. He just says, something told me, my son, there is a delay in your life. You're under a curse. Go for curse breaking. If you're a Christian and you believe you're under a curse, you rejected the works of Jesus. From that day, you believed it. You will keep breaking curses. Go and check people and families who are breaking curses in other cities. It's work. The devil has given you assignment. When you're through, they will give you relief for a while. You think you got a miracle. After 2 years, you have another curse. You will keep going for deliverance. Christians are suffering because of ignorance. One day, I gave, and the Lord moved my heart to give. And he told me, this minister, I want you to minister to him and give him this. And so, I took that offering, I blessed it, and I gave. Immediately I gave, things started going wrong. Outwardly, something just spoiled. This one just happened. It's as if some results, as if some doors were closed. Immediately I gave. And the devil came and said, you see it? Whenever you give to that man, something goes wrong. Whenever you give to this, something went wrong. Can't you see? You started having losses. Are you not noticing it? And I rose like a lion. Kai! I said, devil! I smell you from afar!
And I know you.
I know you exactly. I know you. The word of God is not true because of circumstances. First thing first, the Lord told me to give. You, devil, can never tell me to give. Second, that man is a man of God. The evidence of grace. Like this in his life. I finished present. I then said, thirdly, my harvest has nothing to do with these peripheral things you're trying to play around. I say, I know what you're doing. I say, I'll give again. Then I'll give again. And then I'll give again. And I say, you foul spirits that joke around my properties and my things, I smell you from afar. In the name of Jesus, get your hands up now! I rebuked him. And immediately, bam, things change. I now say, oh, if the devil will put up a fight for me not to give to this man, that's the man to give to. Because that means there is something he's afraid of. That if I keep giving here, I'm going to break forth. And I started giving. That's why Lamb is where it is today. If I tell you the person he told me not to give, is Reverend David Obuelio. You've not seen devil. Play around people. And if you're someone that is ritualistic and not revelational, if you're someone that is given to rituals, you read the peripheral things, you read the clouds, but you know not the ways of the Spirit. If you're someone who don't have light, he would have deceived me. He would have deceived me. So I'm going to close this. You can read till verse 34 of that scripture by giving you three keys. How many of you who may have started out on faulty foundations want not just to break out of the noise, out of the patterns, out of any atmosphere that looks like it, but you want to dominate?
You want to have power over it and deliver those under it. How many of you are ready? How many of you? How many of you want to be sent back? No, you're not under the yoke of the sins of your fathers, but you want to be sent back as the deliverers to your family. How many of you? Are you ready? Write this down. Number one, the first key is regeneration. Regeneration. That's nature. God has to change your nature. It is redemption that God used to break you out of the traditions of your fathers. And in regeneration, He gives you a new nature that whatever was happening in that bloodline can never touch you anymore. Never, and I mean never, except you're ignorant, you permit it, and you play with it. Except. So God says, my people perish because they lack knowledge. Regeneration has to deal with spiritual rebirth. Two aspects of regeneration: spiritual rebirth and spiritual heritage. So after you're born again of the Holy Spirit, allow the Holy Spirit to bring you to a spiritual father and mother to give you a new heritage, a lineage spiritually. Men and women that the blessing is upon their lives. So when God was ready to deal with Abraham, He looked at what was happening with Terah and the father. He called him out of his father's house. Why? Abraham was not the first person that was called to go to Canaan. Are you aware? The first person that was called to go to Canaan was his father. Time. But the name of the father means delay. The man journeyed towards Canaan, came to a place, and stopped and didn't go. And was staying there, stagnant, delayed. So God said, no way. I'm going to take this one out. That's why when you come to Christ, the Bible says that those who received Him, He gave power to become children of God. Children not born by blood. Not born by the will of the man, or will of men, or will of the flesh, but born of God. When God adopts you as His own, takes you out of that lineage. When Abraham started going, the son of his brother, who also didn't achieve anything, in fact died before his father, Lot went with him straight away. Lot went with him. By that connectivity and connection, connecting with a man that God has spoken a blessing to, Lot immediately began to prosper. Such that he has servants, he has increased, he has so much wealth that their servants were not fighting together, and they said they can't dwell in the same land. That connectivity with Abraham became the heritage he enjoyed. He started enjoying whatever is upon Abraham's. See, everything God does, He does generationally. Whatever God wants to do with you is already on someone. He has to impart it through someone. Only very few people are given the patriarch anointing. Only. That God sees face to face very few people on earth and starts up a root from them. Only they are very few. The rest is generationally. So God did that for Abraham. Take him out of what was happening with his father. And Lot went with him. Show me who you're running with. When the devil was doing that with Reverend David, he was doing it so that he could isolate me. He would put me in a place where I think I know it all. I have it all. No one knows better than me. No one can teach me. So you run alone. So far as you're connected to a heritage, and the blessing is on that heritage, he grows, I grow. Wave your hands if you're getting it. So there has to be a rebirth. Who speaks over your life? Abraham settled everybody else, just gave them things. But all he has and all he is, he gave to Isaac. Who lays hands on you to give you all he is? Who are you related with spiritually? Who is your father? Where is your identity? Who lifts his hands? And when he speaks, the blessing on his life speaks over your life. So what Lot didn't understand is that at the moment he went with Abraham, he stopped being an uncle but a prophet. That's what God told Pharaoh. That's what he told Abimelech. This one is a prophet. Abraham was a prophet. Check what else happened to Lot from the moment he separated from Abraham. So the devil, we have people connected to someone that is blessed. They will keep rising and rising. After a while, the devil comes after that relationship. The moment they disconnect, they start withering. Lot left Sodom with nothing. 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 He left Sodom with nothing. He lost everything, including his wife. His wife became a pillar of salt. Somebody under the sound of my voice, you will not lose your blessed heritage. I say you will not lose your blessed heritage. Number two and number three, the Lord is telling me to stop. I will mention it. Number two is reprogramming, nurture. First one is regeneration. Nature must change. You must be born again. You must be born of God for what is happening in your bloodline to stop happening in your life. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? And then you must be joined to a spiritual heritage that is what? Blessed. You must have a new identity, a new family, a new fatherhood that stands, that speaks over your life. That's the secret. That's the secret. Number two, reprogramming nurture. This one has to do with light. Light. You must be armed with light and the renewing of your mind. God must give you a new mindset. The worst devastation of demonic activity is not the attack on people's health, the attack on people's marriages, the attack on people's finances, the attack on people's prosperity, the attack on people's favor. The worst devastation of demonic activities is the degradation of people's mindset. The reprogramming of the mind to be against God and not to receive light from God. The person begins to think worldly, think in a dark manner, think in ways he's given to carnality. A carnal mind is an enmity to God. Is enmity against God. Cannot receive the things of God. Cannot obey God. A carnal mind. So when what the devil does is that anywhere he wants to perpetuate generational curses, he reprograms the way of the thinking of people in that family. And they pass that value system from generation to what? Anywhere you see generational poverty, they all think alike. They have the same value system. So when God wants to, he begins to nurture you. Because there is a mindset that conditions a man's life and makes it conducive for demons and curses to play around them. So God has to change your way of thinking. I have a relative that's very close to me, dear to me. This woman can dream. And she always dreams. If she dreams one good dream, she dreams 20 bad dreams. And they know her. Her dreams will come to pass. Until she started dreaming about me. I ended her dreaming gift. Did you hear what I said? What did I say? She stopped dreaming. When she met me, the dream ended. That's what I told the devil. I said, even if I give by mistake to an occultic man, my money will nullify his order. I said, God pass devil. I said, I'm bigger than all your principality. I said, there is no altar that can handle me. You know it, I know it. So don't even tell me something went wrong because I gave to a man. If I give to an occultic altar, he will get born again. Or he will reject that money by force. You want for me to give to a person and you say evil came to me, is for me to believe I can conduct evil. I say what we carry is incorruptible. The life in me is incorruptible. I said death can't corrupt it. If I touch death, life consumes it in victory. If I touch what is infectious, the thing is healed. I learned it from John G. Lake. He will go to places where there was an epidemic, people dying, virus breakout. And then he'll be helped. They say, no, where all your protection gear? He said, no, those viruses can't stay on me. Those parasites can't live on my body. He said, what? He said, I sign. Whatever happens to me is on my head. They will get the foam from the people's mouth. Like Ebola, all those things. Get the foam from their mouth. Put it on his palm. Look at it under the microscope. They cease existing. They are dead. He said, it's the electricity that runs through my veins. The power of God. That's why the Bible says we will take up, if we take up poisonous things, it will by no means. Listen to what Jesus said to us. He said, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Hey, who lied? Who lied? So there is going to be a reprogramming. The Lord is telling me to stop. So I should give you the last one. The third one, repositioning. The first one, regeneration, nature. The second one, reprogramming, nurture. God has to nurture you. You have to start thinking differently. And that's why when God is about taking you out of a generational curse, out of a faulty foundation, the first thing he does is to isolate you from them first. You have to go to a new school. You're not permitted. You can visit just here and there to do. But he will take you out of the place first before he sends you back there. You have to, once you're in there, the programming will keep running. The last one is repositioning for future. For future. You have to reposition yourself in the spirit. And two major things repositions you in the spirit. One is the prophetic. The second one is altar sacrifice. With your sacrifice, you will relocate, change address in the spirit. Kai. Where naturally I was coming from. I don't want to tell you the story. Let me respect that family. It became so bad, it became the talk of the village. The only property they had in the village, the real village, was so bad, it became where everybody would put their dustbin. in the whole village. He was so abandoned because the three sons were fighting. The first one said, I want to own it. The second one said, one person cannot own a bar. It's okay, let us build. One person build one story. One person build the one. The other one bring the last one. Let's build two stories. They kept fighting. The people kept collecting the land. Nobody would even go there. Until the only land was the place the foundation stood. And then it became where everybody put dustbin. Nobody graduated. The first that graduated was my brother. During his youth service, he died. No graduate anywhere. Nobody owned a car. Nobody owned nothing. Except the females. And just one or two people from the female side. Just one, not even the female, I can't remember any. Even all the females, that's true, I'm remembering now. Not one. One female only married one rich man. That one that she cried all her life. She ran for her life. One of the daughters became okay, went outside the country and carried the mother. Everything else in that man's family. I don't want to talk. What you're seeing here is a distant far cry to where I'm coming from. This thing I'm teaching you is what I have lived and handled. When I saw, do you know what made me a giver? I saw hardworking people in my family. Mama, what does my mother call my father? Workaholic. Has she told you that he used to work like his father? He told you. Say he does not know the difference between office and home. He works around the clock. Came back with nothing. When I saw, what was going on, in a vision, God took me up in a vision and showed me exactly what was it. Things I can't open up here. But right in the center of the property their father acquired, if you go to Onitsha, there is a street on Okka Road called Ifenu Street. When you see that compound has the largest compound, that's my grandfather. That's where my father's house is. My father is Ifenu. Right in the center, everybody that will come to that point is lifted and brought down. Lifted and brought down. And the Lord told me, says, son, you're born again. Yes. I have a covenant with you. That's why. He said, now you will make a covenant with me. It's a different thing. I have made a covenant with you. Now you make a covenant with me. He said, relocate your address. He said, whenever you're perused in the spirit, declare by your prophetic actions who you are. Cornelius gave and prayed to a point that God couldn't wait. His sacrifices, his altar rose up a voice before God. A voice. Such a way that God has to send an angel. We can't wait. We can't wait for Peter and them to get here. We can't wait. Who knows when somebody in his house will die. This household must be saved. Go and tell them, send for a man. I started giving like a madman because I know where I'm coming from. When you see me give like a madman, I'm not supposed to be where I am just by the virtue that I gave my life to Christ. Many gave their life to Christ and were harassed by the devil, oppressed by the devil. I had to reposition myself. I stopped playing and became serious with my life. If you want something different from what's happening in your family, you must become different yourself. Did you get it? The Lord bless you. Now stand on your feet. Lift your hands to the Lord and give Him all that glory with a loud clap offering of praise. Return it. Clap your hands, oh ye people. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. Let me tell you why we are clapping. The Lord told me, He said, son, those who know how to clap in the spirit in praise to my name, I will make people clap for them. The days are here when there will be no week, no month in your life. People won't be clapping for you. People won't be celebrating you. People won't be honoring you. Because you know how to praise God. You know how to give glory to God. You know how to honor God in spirit and in truth. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Father. Lift your hands and say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Say, thank you, Lord Jesus. If you have a picture of your family, you have a bottle of oil, can you raise it right now? Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Yes, Lord. Repositioning. Kai. The prophetic. One day, the prophetic sounded. Your name will no longer be Abraham, but Abraham. That's the end. The prophetic. Kalitosa. Seasons change. Positions change by the prophetic. You see a man who's struggling, and just one word from God does it. He's repositioned. And if that man knows how to respond promptly, somebody say promptly. That's why the devil wants a lot of Christians to be careless with the ministries of their prophets. He wants them to say, hey, are they not men? Can we not just talk to them when they are... Listen, they may be men, but they are gifted and anointed for God by God for your prosperity. So God says, don't receive them as men. Receive them as messengers of God. Say, he that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet. The day the estimation of your prophet reduces, that's the day his ministry ends in your life. So there are Christians who go to church. They say, I serve the Lord. No man can tell me. No matter the one that they do, I take the one I want to hear, the one I don't want to hear. Let me warn you. What you should do is allow the Holy Ghost to lead you to a good church and lead you to a shepherd after his heart. Now, if you believe every pastor is fake, then there is something wrong with you. You are the one that is fake because you can't believe everybody is wrong. There are a lot of fake pastors. There are a lot of fake prophets. But what you need to do, Father, lead me to an authentic one, a shepherd after your heart. They may still have flaws, but they are shepherds after your heart. Lead me to a genuine man of God. And when you locate one, and the Lord locates one, your spirit will have witness with him. And when you do, please believe him. Please submit to him. Please esteem him very highly as the scripture. Please obey him. Because if you don't, you shut down the activities of the anointing on your life. One word from a prophet. A man looked at me. He came to our church in Addis Avenue. How many were we? But he honored God and honored me and came. And he stood and he said, Even if you decide to fail, I won't let you fail. Do you understand? Spoke words. There were years that appeared dark. Years that God took us through the furnace to burn off things. So he can bring us out shining brighter. So we can be vessels in his hands he can fully use. In those years, I knew the prophetic was keeping me. Times you feel like giving up. Have nothing spare to run on. From nowhere, a surge of energy comes in. From nowhere. God still making a name for himself. When the enemy feels he has done his worst, because one man standing in the place of God, in the presence of God, anointed by his spirit, opened his mouth and declared, "You will not fail." Hey, do you have what has been spoken over you that is chasing after you? Do you have what has been spoken over you that will settle not just you, but your children's children? Abraham spoke over Isaac. Isaac spoke over Jacob. Jacob spoke over the sons of Joseph. That's it. The prophetic. The prophetic. I remember walking to his office for the first time to see him. We've been communicating through letters. I will send some of his pastors to him, and it was now the final day I will see him. And I emptied myself. Emptied the whole church. Everything we had as a church. Emptied myself. There was no currency that was not in that envelope. It was a large envelope. And I was rehearsing how it would. In fact, I told some of them in church, our leaders, that this is what I was going to do. I said that we raise a sacrifice that will speak. I said, this man has thousands of people. Thousands of people. Thousands of people. Following him alone in their denomination, there are sons in their thousands. I'm even saying pastors now in their thousands. They now have over 1,000 churches. Over 1,000 churches. So only pastors alone are over 1,000. Not to talk of other sons. Where will he have space to know me? Where will he have space to know me? And for me to have a place in his heart. The Lord said there is a way. He said the gift of a man makes way for him. That gift is not talent. It's giving. Hoodie, money, wealth. He said carry it. He said that's what opens doors. I carried it heavy. Prayed and worshipped on that day. The moment I came, as he was greeting me, I just lifted it up. Let it come on his table. I did boom. He looked at me. I knelt down before he was speaking to him. He just said, "I recognize you in the spirit." He said, "You are the same tribe with me." He said, "So watch where I'm going. As I move, it means you move. If I fail, that's the only way you will fail. But you can't fail." The prophetic. I relocated my address straight away. Whatever was happening in there. So when you locate me and that bloodline is different, what I'm now doing is pulling people out. How can the deliverer need deliverance? Imagine Jesus kneeling down saying the disciples should pray for his deliverance. From who? From the devil? God forbid. Lift your hand. You see that picture? Whether you prayed about them, maybe you didn't have enough time. Now have enough time. Pray in the spirit. What we are doing is a mystery. You're watching me from wherever in the world. This is a matter of destiny. Pray in the spirit. Those of you that just got married, pray for your family in the spirit. Lekalu shekata, shandeli brigadier. Legalabalakata. Ligerin monu shandalabrahata. Lizunde inkara brendo. Carry those oil in your hands and pray in the spirit. There is an infusion happening. There is an infusion happening. There is an infusion happening. Ligoje te lujeka. Ligredeke. Ruje ike. Ligradekota. Ligreduzindele. Ruze kenda. Rubredeka luz. Imbrede sute. Ligeyalado sakata. As you pray, call the names of your family members. Call them before the Lord. Call them. Every creation has intelligence. Every creation hears the word of the Lord. Ligariko shabaya kataya. Hey, makaragato shakata. Sendele brigade. Lebra de Gebota. Ligelido Sindelibraha. Rumjenga. Ligerunde Zundelingredeka. Lepuse breed the cambush. La ruse. Ligelido Kotekete. Riconde Sombradeshka. Lebrande Kaya. Raise your hands. Everything that has followed the order of the old is today reversed in the name of Jesus. Everything in your life that has been subjected, conformed to answer to the causes of the bloodline, that of the old, today, in the name of Jesus, is released from the hold. The hold is broken over any area of your life now, in the name of Jesus. Maya de Shakata. Oh, I'm addressing you, spirits of fear. I'm addressing that spirit of fear that the enemy had planted in your heart. That domekatusha, always telling you that what happened to others in your family is repeating itself in your life, lying to you. And he has given you many instances to prove it. That devil is a liar. That devil is a liar. Today I decree over you, your life is not the continuation of the blood of men, not the continuation of the will of men and of the flesh. You are a child born of God. Today you are no longer reaping the iniquities, the causes of the iniquities of your fathers. You live under the covenant where it will be said no more that the fathers have eaten sour grapes and their children's teeth are set at the edge. In the name of Jesus, the iniquities of your fathers are on their head, and yet right here we cry for mercy. We cry for mercy. I invoke God's mercy over our father's houses, over our mother's houses. We cry for mercy in the name of Jesus. But for you and your family, for you and your children, you are free. You are blessed. You can never be cursed. Therefore, you foul spirits of hell, wherever you have held state, whatever fear you have planted, in the name of Jesus, I arrest that spirit. I cast it out. And I break everywhere you have held state. In the name of Jesus, I break your strongholds. I destroy your strongholds. Let life invade your heart now. Where you were weak and fearful, be strengthened, be bold, be courageous, and become violent with your faith in the name of Jesus Christ. Hey, hey, something is happening here. Lift those hands. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. From today, the oil you carry ceases to be ordinary oil. I raise my hands and bless it. From this day, that the Holy Spirit will use it as a medium of the transference of His power, of His anointing. That anointing that breaks yokes. Every yoke of the devil. Every yoke of family negative patterns. As you minister this oil, use it to anoint any space, any environment, or anyone. The power of God shall break forth. The power of God shall break forth. The glory of God will be made manifest. The dominion of the Lord, His authority will stand forth in that place to beat down every work of the devil. And whatever you command and decree shall stand in that place in the name of Jesus Christ. Whoever you anoint with this, whatever they need from the Lord, deliverance, healing, turnaround, liftings, shall be made manifest without delay in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Lift your hands. Everywhere you use this oil to anoint, the altar of judgment shall be raised. And whoever won't let will be buried. Whoever won't let will be buried. Whoever won't let will be buried. Let them have dominion. Let them be fruitful. Let them prosper. Let them have peace. Whoever will resist this let will be buried. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hands will roll for your lifting, for the lifting of your families, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Give Him praise today. Oh, what a day. Hallelujah.
Thank you so much for listening to this message by Pastor David Ibichukwu. Follow us on any of our social media platforms using the handle @MyLambWorld or contact us at 006-275-3311 to purchase and listen to more life-changing messages by Pastor David Ibichukwu.